It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you grow your e-commerce business faster and more efficiently by cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and guidance from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello, Masterplan World. Welcome to our latest podcast. It's great to have so many of you out there listening. I'm Chloe Thomas, the creator of the E-commerce Masterplan. I'm an author, speaker, and advisor, and I focus on e-commerce marketing. You can join the chat about e-commerce marketing and anything else e-commerce, quite frankly, at the E-commerce Masterplan World Facebook group that you will find via ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook, or just have a look for it on Facebook, and I'm sure you'll find it. Now, I know a lot of you from my conversations in the group and elsewhere are running your own boutique bricks and clicks businesses, selling out of your own physical store and also online via your own website with maybe a bit of marketplace activity in the mix too. Taking on all those different roles, a buyer, visual merchandiser, shop assistant, marketer, and quite frankly, everything. Today, we've got a guest just like you on to share her wisdom. So I want to introduce you to our special guest today. Kirsty Patrick is the owner of Home by Kirsty, a boutique bricks and clicks business in Cardiff. That's in Wales in the UK for our international listeners. It's focused on homeware by leading British and Welsh designers, and all of it has a clean contemporary aesthetic. Kirsty launched with the physical store in 2014 and added the website in early 2015. Hello, Kirsty. I've just given our listeners a really quick overview of you and your business. How are you doing today?
Hi, really nice to talk to you. Yeah, really good. It's nice and sunny here in Cardiff, which is a great sign.
It's always, life is always better when the sun's out, especially as we emerge from the winter. So I've just told people kind of what you've been up to, but how did you get started in the first place? Why did you come up with Home by Kirsty?
Well, my background is lighting design, so I studied product design back in 2013 and graduated, and have my own sort of lighting range. And it's that cheesy corny line of always wanting to have my own shop. But basically, I worked towards that whilst doing my own work and also working as a visual merchandiser for Habitat and Topshop.
Oh, wow, that's a good place to learn the skill.
Yeah, so it gave me a really good sort of insight and background, really. And then whilst working numerous other jobs, sort of having in the background thinking, right, my goal is to have a shop. And then it got to one point that I was just like, right, I'm just going to go for it. And then got some ideas together, started to do a lot of research into other designers and who I'd want to be in the shop. And yeah, took it from there, really.
And just for any of our listeners who aren't quite clued up on some of the lingo, could you just explain what a visual merchandiser is? Because I think they're a really important part of retail, but I know a lot of people won't know it.
So a visual merchandiser, you're there basically to make the products in the shop look beautiful and make people want to buy them, really. So my role was really the creative side. So I was to do with the windows and also any sort of sort of mannequin dressing. With Topshop, it was obviously very fashion led, but we also had quite a creative role there. So whether it be sort of murals on the wall to pull people's eyes towards the back of the wall. So yeah, it was a really good way to get an idea about how you run a shop and how you get people in there.
Because it's literally visually merchandising the product.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'd have teams that were literally there just to merchandise the product. And then I was there to add in the extras. So pulling the windows together, adding the mannequins, any spacing around it. And just basically making the products shine and want people to buy them.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for explaining that, because I just didn't want people to be screaming at whatever they're listening to this on going, what's a visual merchandiser? I don't know. I run a shop. Okay, before we kind of get into your story and how you've built the business over the last 4 years, give us a few kind of key details about the business as it is now. So you're in Cardiff in the UK. Where do you sell to?
I open the shop up, so I sell directly to my customers within the Cardiff and surrounding areas. So I'm open Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then I sell online. So I'll sell to across the UK. And then I sell with Truva as well, which also hits the international market as well. And I also do get a few inquiries for international orders through the website as well. So I can accommodate those. I just have to arrange sort of postage and shipping. So.
Got you. Okay. And you mentioned Truva there. That's, I'll be honest, that's not a marketplace I'd heard of until you told me about it earlier. Can you explain a little bit about Truva and why you chose them?
Well, basically, it's an online website for physical boutique shops. And it's a place where we can sell our products as well as selling them on our own websites. They do take a commission, but obviously they're quite, they're a new-ish business, but they've got a really great team behind them. So their reach to market is far greater than mine is. So it's getting my products out in front of customers that I can't reach, basically. And yeah, they curate their website really beautifully. So it goes really well with my brand.
It is a stunning website, the Truva one. It doesn't scream marketplace, I have to say, when you go on it, if that makes sense.
It's really well curated, and the products are chosen beautifully, and it's got a really sort of clean feel to it. So yeah, it works very well with the products that I sell, and I'd hope my customers are their customers as well. So yeah, that's why I decided to go with them.
Just a really good fit.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think getting your business to work with other businesses, you really need to have the same sort of wavelength or feel, really, to make it a genuine connection, I think.
Oh, yeah, couldn't agree with you more. It kind of all comes down to values and that side of things from the very beginning. But we might get into that a little later. So tell us a bit about the product. We said you're boutique and it's about design. I imagine a few people are kind of going, are we talking fashion? Are we talking homewares? Can you tell us about your kind of key product categories?
So I'm, most definitely homeware. So lighting, sort of homeware, so cushions, soft furnishings, vases. And then I've got jewellery and stationery and gifts. So some would probably call me like a lifestyle store. So I've covered quite a large range of products that all work with each other. So they all kind of like have the same ethos behind them. They're all really well made, or I know the maker that makes them, or you want them to last, the products as well. That's a really key point as well for my products as well.
Is that they've got some durability to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd much prefer somebody to come in and buy a chosen product that they're going to cherish and love for the next 20, 30 years, rather than just spending £5 on a cushion and then throwing it away in the next, 3 months when the fashion's over, sort of thing. I'd much prefer somebody came in and really loved that product and, wanted it for the rest of their life, basically.
Cool. And have you always sold those product categories, or has that evolved?
I've mainly sold them. I started out quite more with the homewares. I've always had jewellery and cards. The stationery element has kind of added in as it's grown, and I tend to use quite a lot of stationery. So I was kind of like, maybe other people would like it too. So. So I started to bring in some stationery, and that sells really well, along with some magazines as well. It has developed, and I started when I first opened the doors with 25 designers, and now I had 60 in the old store when I had the bigger premises, and now I've gone back down to about 45. So it's definitely grown.
Cool. And we'll talk a little bit about that shop change a little later on too. But before we get on to that, on the e-commerce side of things, you're selling on Truva. What platform have you built your own website on?
So I use Squarespace. I find it really, really easy to use. The backside of the website is, it's a dream, basically. It's so easy, user-friendly. I can basically have the control and feel like I know what I'm doing. which I think is so important when you are a one-person business. If you haven't got that tech team behind you to be able to, you know, show you what you need to do, I think having something that's easy to use is really important.
Definitely. And I was about to ask you about your team. There is just you. Is there anything you've got anyone else doing for you at all?
The only thing that I have, I've got a friend that she did some work for me as a freelance copywriter and social media. And Nat is an absolute legend. And she does help me out with some of my social media and just almost planning out my social media. So it's really important to me that the content is coming from me directly, but it's also, I'm massively dyslexic, so which is quite common in the creative world. So having help with the written side of things, I find so valuable.
Excellent. I love that. Doing as much as you can yourself, but that one weakness, find someone awesome to do it for you. Now, I said we'd talk a little bit about the physical store, because you've recently shifted locations in kind of quite a dramatic change. Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about that and why it came about?
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, so I was in the city centre, so right in the heart of Cardiff, in some of the historic arcades, so Castle Arcade. Beautiful, beautiful setting. Grade 2 listed, gorgeous. Big window front, perfect location. Until you start getting the bills coming in and the change in footfall in town, I've noticed a massive change. And also, there's a lot of food in Cardiff, which is amazing, and a lot of independent traders, which is fantastic. But it really changes the kind of area as a destination for people to go for food rather than actually going for shopping. So it was coming to the end of my contract, so the end of my 3 years lease. And I just wanted to really think, it was either whether call it quits, which I'm a little bit stubborn and didn't want to do. So I thought, right, how can I really switch this on the head and change it around? So I really, because my sales are more on people coming into the bricks and mortar shop, I really didn't want to just go straight online. I didn't feel confident enough that I could bring in enough sales, basically. So I really wanted to have a physical premises still. So I kept on having a look for, it's probably over 6 months trying to find a property. Really, really hard. Estate agents were sending me huge, huge, massive retail spaces, and I was just like, are you not listening to me?
I am not Argos. No, I am not Homebase.
So they were sending me these huge premises with like 35,000 a year, and I was like, no, this is why I'm changing. basically I was visiting a friend and parked outside this really nice little coach house, and basically just put a little note through the door and said, if you ever want to rent this, I'd love to. And Garth, who owns it, phoned me up the next day and said, well, actually, I'm retiring. Would you like it? And I was like, yes, please. Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
So, that's how I got the property. It needed an absolute ton load of work doing to it. Garth had been there for 15 years as a mortgage advisor. So it was, being a commercial premises, but needed a lot of work. But the shop fit, I basically could take with me. So that's how I designed it with my interior designer. She's a interior architect, and we designed it so if there was the case that I needed to move it, it's really nice and flexible. So basically I only needed to buy an extra sheet of wood to cut so my outlay was actually really minimal to change. And it seems crazy that you shrinking a business makes you happier, but it actually has done. It's given me the control back a little bit.
Have you now got less square footage than you did before?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really small now. I'm probably like 3 meters square. Yeah. So, you know, it's tiny. It's really, really tiny. And I was unsure whether customers would like that, whether they'd find that a little bit claustrophobic, whether it would be a bit too intense, you know, having a small space. But I found the opposite. People absolutely love it. There's a really gorgeous little farmer's market that happens every Saturday morning, literally next door to me.
Very handy.
Which is so nice. So for getting lunch and for customers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a double whammy, that, isn't it?
I'm taking more on, well, fingers crossed and touch wood and everything. On a Saturday, I take more than I did in town. Which,
oh, wow. So you've...
I find crazy.
But that's it, isn't it? It is, as they say, it's location, location, location. And if you're seeing the writing on the wall in the location you're in, the footfall's changing and everything, then it is time to make that move. And it sounds like you made the perfect shift.
Yeah, absolutely. There were people saying, oh, you're nuts, Kirsty. Why are you doing that? You should either just quit or, you know, just find somewhere on the high street. But the high street is, you know, in the traditional sense of sitting next to, I don't know, Starbucks or wherever. You know, the business rates are crazy, the rents are crazy, and you cannot guarantee people coming through the door and actually purchasing stuff. So I needed to make sure that my rents were, you know, as low as I can get them, and as flexible for me as well. So just...
And presumably, I mean, you mentioned that you're open, the physical store's open. I think you said Thursday to Sunday?
Thursday, Friday and Saturday.
So I'm guessing when you were in the Castle Arcade, that wasn't an option. You had to do the Monday to Saturday?
I was open, Tuesday to Saturday. So I had Sunday, Monday off just because it was me. I was getting to a point where I was pretty much working 7 days a week because I don't think people realise the paperwork involved behind and the emails and keeping on top of 60 different designers and makers invoicing and doing the website. I couldn't switch off. So this actually gives me the freedom to have a day off, which is amazing.
and necessary, you know, especially when you're working in the creative spaces, you need a bit of brain freedom to kind of recharge the batteries, don't you?
Yeah, totally. And I think you're more productive when you do, when you give yourself those days off. I feel so much better. And I was chatting to a friend the other day and I was saying, you know, Joe Bloggs that has 9 to 5, they'll have Saturday, Sunday off, and then they'll have however many 30 days annual leave every year. And yeah, as a self-employed person, you feel very guilty when you give yourself a day off, but I don't think you should. I think they're very valuable and definitely worth it.
Yeah, I have to say, when I banned myself from working weekends, everything got better.
Yeah,
my business got better, my bank account got better, and my life got better. It's like you have to, partly because I had that free time for my brain, but also because I was forcing myself to make better decisions about where I spent my work hours.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really valuable. It's one of the things that I'm really definitely going to keep going, because I just going backwards to where I was, it was basically driving myself into the ground, and I wouldn't have been able to. It's keeping up that sort of hamster wheel, and that's not fun. So,
well, talking about time, obviously you, as someone running their own Bricks and Clicks business, you have a lot of different hats to juggle. How do you juggle them, I suppose? How do you allocate time? Like, okay, now you're doing Thursday, Saturday is in the shop, so Wednesday's about the marketing and Tuesday's about the buying? Or is it just whatever's screaming at you loudest on a daily basis?
It used to be, I used to just kind of ad hoc it and just see what needed doing when. But now I'm trying to be stricter on my days. So I try and do sort of Tuesday as so I have Sunday, Monday as days off, and then Tuesday tends to be sort of organising the week and seeing what's coming up, and doing all of the emails, kind of getting back to those, and some of the sort of invoicing. And then Wednesday tends to be sort of like creative content, so trying to figure out what blogs I want to do, you know, trying to figure out social media, maybe meet up with Matt, and yeah, really get kind of like almost like a month's plan in mm-hmm. place. And then I'm trying to do sort of my own photography a little bit more. So I'm trying to make Wednesday like a photography day. So taking pictures of the products, whether that be in the shop or whether trying to get them on location, maybe doing like a little shoot in the house or something like that. So it gives me that freedom to be able to do that now.
Excellent. Okay. And you've mentioned about the importance of the right, building the right partnerships with people, and you mentioned about all those different makers that you're working with and the importance mm-hmm. of those. Is that, is the right designer to have their products featured in your shop, is that mm-hmm. kind of that key to your brand and your customer loyalty, do you think?
Yeah, so I think having the right makers and designers in the shop is crucial. Yeah, they need to be coming from the same sort of background as the other products, and they need to kind of like work together. I think it would be very hard for me to have a product that was, you know, hugely mass produced in the shop. It just wouldn't sit well alongside mm-hmm. some of the other products that I've got, if that makes sense. So I think, yeah, and I also, from doing the trade shows myself with my own lighting, a lot of the makers that I've got, I've made via that way. So Kirsty from Tom Pigeon, she makes beautiful, beautiful prints and jewellery, really clean graphic lines, which are really gorgeous. And we were at a trade show next to each other, and I was chatting and I said about, you know, potentially having the shop, and I've stocked her since day one. And yeah, it's great being able to have that, you know, communication and friendship with the designers that I've got in the shop. So I can tell the customers, you know, who makes it, why they make it, you know, where they make it. And I think that's really valuable.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's something which people quite often miss when they're doing the boutique style business that you are, you know, whether it's homewares or whether it's fashion, mm-hmm. is you have to have a reason for pulling that edit, that curation of products together.
Yeah.
And it generally comes down to design and ethos. And if you can't get that right, then the customers, they're just not going to follow you.
Yeah, absolutely. And the best thing is when a customer comes in and they say, "Oh, I love everything in this shop." And I'm like, "Yes, I've got it right." You know, I feel like, you know, that makes me really happy that people, because it's such a daunting thing choosing products. Is anybody going to like, you know, that mm-hmm. that you've put on the shelf? It's really, you're almost putting yourself on the shelf because you've everything. So, I always want people to love what they're seeing. So, it makes the world a difference when somebody comes in and you hear them chatting and they're like, "Oh, this is great. That's lovely. I really like this." And yeah, it's really great.
So what do you think is the most awesome thing about your business right now?
I think it's probably, yeah, it has to be my designers, I think, really. Just being able to showcase their products and give them a platform to be able to be seen. And obviously the e-commerce is so important, but I find that so many people still really love being able to come in and touch and feel and see the size and scale of a product and the colour and, being able to, maybe a customer will come in and they'll have emailed to say, "Do you have this product? Can I come in and see it?" And, you know, they see it and love it. And, I think that's a great way of showcasing the designers that I've got. And, yeah, they're definitely awesome.
Excellent. Well, look, before we go into the top tips round, I've got a little extra question for you. It's quite a top tip question all of its own, which is that we've got lots of people listening who are maybe just about to launch their physical store, or they've been running it for a year and they're struggling, or they're looking for that, you know, that moment of boom and away it goes. Yeah. You got any advice to them who are out there?
Well, I think the biggest thing is research. It's so boring, but it's so important. I sat in the coffee shop opposite before I opened in the city centre, and I did like a little question and answer with customers walking past. It was really awkward and it was really hard, but I just wanted to find out whether people would be interested in having a shop like that. And then I emailed all of my friends and family and just asked them what products they would like to buy and what price point they like. And it's totally not me, because I really don't like doing any of the written side of things. But it gave me so many good answers. And I think listening to your customer is probably the biggest thing that you can do, really.
You're a woman after my own heart with that, Kirsty. Right, I think we should go into the top tips round. And I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So first up is the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Well, I'm going to go off piece here.
That's cool. Off piece is fine.
Yeah, I'm really rubbish at reading. I obviously can read, but I just don't enjoy it that much. So I really like, if I've got a day off or take a Friday off, I'd go to a town or city that I haven't been to, and really explore like the independence. And yeah, just because I really love independent shops and coffee shops and businesses, I normally just do that and do a bit of research and kind of see how their businesses work, and yeah, just have a little nose around other cities, really.
Love it. That's an awesome answer. Okay, off-piste is always good. The traffic top tip: which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Well, I've got this kind of like love-hate thing with Instagram at the moment. I really love it, and I love being able to show my products and show the shop and show what I'm about. And I love seeing on the other side, I love seeing other people's products and what they're about and stories and things. But it's so hard to know how much sales come from that, and time investment, and whether it's worth it, or and the whole algorithm thing, which is probably a whole other topic. But I think the number one thing has got to be word of mouth, which is super old school, but you just can't beat it. You can't beat another customer referring and saying, I've bought this and this is really great and you should go down and check it out. And then you have customers coming in saying, oh, my friend told me to come here, this is amazing. And, you know, they buy, whether it's just a card or a house plant or some jewellery, or maybe even just coming in and having a nose and loving it and then knowing that I'm there. That's the most important, I think.
Excellent. Okay, the tool top tip. Maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
This is, again, me going old school. I really like stationery. So I use a lot of pads and sort of tick lists. So that's what I tend to do, is I find that if I've got it written down in front of me, I'll actually get it done. Whereas if I pop it on a note on my phone, I tend to get distracted and I might not check my phone or something. So I really like having a tick list either on my desk or next to me in the shop that I can work my way through.
Excellent advice. I'm a big fan of paper too, it has to be said. Okay, the growth top tip. If you met someone today who's focused on growing their e-commerce business from 100 orders per month to 1,000, what would be your number one tip for them?
Well, I think I need that advice as well. But I think I definitely say just being really consistent with your story and just being very just you, basically, and just getting your story across and why you do it and why you love it. People love to know why you're doing it. I think if there's no face behind it, then people will be unsure about your business. So I think if you're behind it, whether you're the designer of the product or whether you're the store holder, I think people like to know about the person behind the business.
Oh, so true. Right, Masterplan World, you can find those top tips and links to everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, where you will see a link to this show. Kirsty, before we say goodbye, could you let listeners know where they can find you in the real world and the virtual world, please?
In the real world, you can find me at 64A Glenroy Street in Roath in Cardiff, in the coach house. And then online, it's homebykirsty.com. And then on the social medias, it's all at homebykirsty.
Brilliant. Well, I'll add links to all the virtual bits at any rate, and everything else we talked about today in the show notes. Masterplan World, you can find those at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or just go to the website, click on the podcast tab, or use the search box. Kirsty, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. You've been an awesome guest, and it's been brilliant listening to your fascinating story.
Well, you're welcome, Chloe. Thanks for asking me to be on here.
An awesome look into the world of the Bricks and Clicks boutique business there with Kirsty. And I just love the fact that by making her business fit her better and making that bold decision to move from the prime city centre location out to a much quieter business address, she's actually basically turn around her business. Really, really fascinating to chat to her. And if you're running a business selling visual products, then make sure you check out next week's episode, where I'm going to be chatting with Pinterest expert and e-commerce store owner, Catherine Morehouse. I tell you this right now because it's already recorded, so I know just how awesome the episode is. So make sure you tune back in for the next one, because it really is a must listen if you want to know how to get sales from Pinterest. And Catherine is kind enough to share her 3-step process with us all. So a must listen for next week. Do let me know what you think about the world of bricks and clicks and Pinterest and all the rest of it in our Facebook group, ecommercemasterplan.com/Facebook, to get there. And have a great week and keep optimizing. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the e-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com.